This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Here's what Mike Florio wrote about the Cowboys. They've made most of their headlines this offseason by, number one, claiming they're all in for 2024, and number two, doing absolutely nothing to prove it. That dichotomy has helped conceal a far bigger problem. They have contractual messes with three of their key players. And they've shown no inclination to do anything other than delay, delay, and delay. Florio concludes, don't be mad at the players for wanting fair contracts. Be mad at the Cowboys, who seem to think playing for the team has some sort of inherent value that should cause players to happily take less. Keyshawn, once upon a time, you played for this franchise and for that owner. Do you agree with this criticism?
No, I don't agree with Mike Florio at all. But what he did say there is the player should take less. That's what you and Michael Irvin thought. The player should take less to play with the Cowboys.
But he's saying they shouldn't take less.
No, they shouldn't take less. But for some reason, you and Michael think that.
Dak honestly should have taken less the last time.
And as far as they don't do right by the players and things of that nature, that's not true. What young player did they ever lose that they wanted to keep that they drafted and they didn't pay? They pay them all. We can go as far back as Emmitt Smith and Michael Irvin if we want to. Troy Aikman, Nate Newton. I mean, we can go on and on and on and on.
You just went Nate Newton.
We can go all the way back. But we can stay right here in present time.
Yep.
They took care of Zeke. They're going to take care of CeeDee Lamb. They took care of Diggs. They're going to take care of Parsons. Mm-hmm. They took care of Tyron Smith.
They did.
They're going to take care of Tyler Smith. They took care of Zach Martin. I could just go on and on and on and on. There's this narrative that's out there as if the Cowboys are cheap. They don't want to pay their players. They're negotiating. That's a simple negotiation. It's not that deep. Just because you don't know what they're doing and they're not out in the public discussing what their plans are, everybody all of a sudden gets their hair on the back of their neck and go crazy because the Dallas Cowboys are a team that gets clicks and people like to talk about them and they want to know what they're doing on a daily basis. And because you don't know, the first thing you try to say is, well, they don't know what they're doing. They got to make decisions, man. They're making the decisions. They're just not telling us what decisions they're making, Skip. Mm. In the end, do I think that two of the three players are going to get paid this year? Yes, I do. Two of the three. The two is going to get paid. It's going to be CeeDee Lamb and Michael Parsons. I think Dak Prescott plays it out, and I think y'all lose Dak Prescott at the end of the season. That's what I believe.
Glory be. Love to see it. Don't believe it. Okay. Jerry Jones knows what happened with Zeke and Dak the last time.
Yes.
He got played by both of them. Mm-hmm. Jerry does not like to lose negotiations, and he effectively lost both of them badly because they both became bad bets because they didn't give him any bang for the buck. Zeke looked like the best back in football his first 3 years. Then he holds out in Cabo, and finally, near the end of training camp, as the season approached, Jerry caved, as you recall, and Zeke came back from Cabo and signed a big new deal that made him the highest paid running back in pro football. And he hit the wall. Almost immediately, he went down, 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 and down for the next 4 years. He did not give you near the bang for the buck that you gave him. You almost paid him for what past tense he had done as opposed
to
what
actually
he
thought that he. I actually thought after his contract, the first 2 years he played well.
Again, it wasn't his numbers went down and down,
but
and
he
down.
Actually played well.
Yards per game went down each of those years, but they went down every year he played for Dallas because his best year was his rookie year, and then it went down a little bit. But he still led the league in yards per game. Still led the league in yards per game the third year, and that's how he got the contract. And then it went down and down and down for four more years. But the point is, he didn't live up to being the best back in pro football the last 4 years, and even you would admit that. He had his moments, I give you that, here and there, some short yardage, some goal line, yeah. I give you that. Then Dak Prescott. Jerry did drag his feet and drag his feet because he wasn't sold on the fourth-round pick that was Dak Prescott. He knew in his heart of hearts, I'm not sure he's going to merit the kind of money that he is demanding from me. But in the end, because he just played it out with the franchise tag, and then here we go again, and you face a second tag, and he's going to make $44 million off the second tag. It's ridiculous. And Jerry finally caved in and paid him market value. And it was a whole lot of money that he is still on the hook for, and he still has nothing to show for it. He doesn't even have one trip to the NFC Championship game in the last 29 years. So the point is, the reason he's stuck in the mud right now with these negotiations is I don't think he believes fully in Dak Prescott, and I don't either, because it's hard to sell him. It's hard to just in ink write that check where you say, yeah, he should be paid among the top five quarterbacks in the league, or make him the highest paid quarterback. What has he done for you in the last three playoff games to merit that kind of money? Nothing. He hasn't come close. He has been pathetic in the last three playoff games. Pathetic.
So y'all should move on from him.
Yeah. Well, I've been trying.
You should tell him to move on from him and see what that gets you, because outside of the highest paid quarterbacks in the in the National Football League, there's only one guy that's winning Super Bowls.
Yeah.
And that's Patrick Mahomes.
All right.
It's one guy. All these other dudes making money, they flaming out in the playoffs too.
Okay. Which team is the most valuable team in all the world?
I understand that they're valuable. I get that. But the reason that you're a valuable team is because the owner has done a tremendous job at putting them out front in front of everybody for the world to see, from a marketing standpoint and everything else. I mean, that's just the reality of it. But when you say that Dak Prescott hadn't done anything, well, you could point to a lot of quarterbacks that hadn't done anything except that dude in Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
And all these dudes make $100-$200 million.
I understand.
So he plays a position that has a demand for you to make a certain earning. Okay, a dude that just you ridicule constantly. And Kirk Cousins, he just picked up $100 million from the Atlanta Falcons.
Good luck.
But that's what it is.
Okay, good luck.
He ain't been in no championship games.
That's a desperate reach.
That's the position.
Okay. All right.
Now you say, are you willing to run the risk? Because you can't franchise tag him. Okay? You can't trade him. Can't do all the different things. Are you willing to run the risk that he has a phenomenal year again?
Mm-hmm.
Like he just had.
Yep.
And then he's walking out the door on you.
Okay.
Because you don't want to pay him $60 million a year.
I've seen nothing. He's 2-5 in the postseason. Okay, let's see. Say he gets on a roll. Somehow they draft three starters who become Pro Bowl players. I don't know. And somehow they make it to this coming year's Super Bowl with Dak Prescott as the quarterback. And he says, thank you very much. I'm out of here. I would be happy with that. I would take that because he hasn't shown me enough to throw what classically is good money after bad. If you now make him the top paid quarterback in the league off what he's given you and not given you, you're stuck again. If you do it just to reduce your cap hits for next year so that you can sign Mike and CD, and I still don't know how the math works, everybody has these problems with their top players. And we're the only ones who are stuck in the mud with ours. Like, we can't figure out how to pay the top three players. I don't get it. The cap just went up, what was it, $30 million, an extra $30 million.
Mm-hmm. But I keep telling you that money that you save from the players that left, as the cap goes up, everybody else's and team numbers go up. So when you're talking about carrying a CD Lamb, and I don't have the numbers in front of me from several weeks ago, but when you're talking about CD Lamb's cap number at once upon a time was $7 million. Well, that number's not $7 million anymore. That number is up. Mm. So that money that you think you're getting and saving goes to him. The same thing with all the other players. Their numbers go up every single year. So you don't have the money that you think. You don't have that sponge that's sitting there, Skip.
We've lost 10 players from last year.
Yes.
They're exiting stage left, stage right, stage center. They're going, gone.
Yes.
I say...
But everybody numbers go up.
Okay. I'm still shocked they haven't paid CeeDee Lamb. And you can say, well, they're negotiating.
I'm sure they're having a conversation.
Yeah. He's the one man I take to my bank. He has earned his money. He is a baller at the highest level. He is trustable going forward. I think the reason Jerry's dragging his feet on CeeDee is that he's afraid of Micah. That if you pay CeeDee, Micah is going to hit the ceiling and start
CeeDee
making
not
waves.
Going, if you don't pay CeeDee before opening day, he's not going to play for you.
Yeah,
I don't care what CeeDee Lamb says.
I would have no problem if he held out.
Yeah, he's going to – you best to get it done.
You better get it done sooner than later. You better get it done at least before camp starts because you do want him – you don't want him coming in on opening day. This is just ridiculous. But now we have some questions about Micah Parsons. I think you have some questions about Micah Parsons because he hasn't lived up to the hype. Maybe the hype was way too much to start with.
Well, my questions is about the back end of the season. That's the only question I have.
Okay.
He needs to, his motor needs to run high on the back end in important games, things of that magnitude. Other than that, as a player, do I think getting into Mike Zimmer's scheme, a change of new defensive coordinator will help him become a better player? Yeah, I think it will. I don't buy in the notion that he's too small, he's not big enough, it wears him down. No, I think you put him in positions to make plays. On top of that, he needs the other players around him to make noise.
Okay,
you can't be a dominant player, unless you got somebody else opposite of you that's just dominant as well. It's just hard to do because they'll double you, they'll chip you, they'll bring three dudes to you. If they know that you could create a problem for them and wreck a game, they're going to count for that.
Is Micah Parsons as good as Nick Bosa is? I can't go there yet. I just don't think he is. Does he have potential to be? Sure he does. But I haven't seen him play to that level yet. Is he better than T.J. Watt? Nope, not to me.
Different.
Yeah.
Different players, though. Yeah. Micah's asked to do way more than those guys are asked to do. Micah moves around everywhere. They stand up either on the left, they put their hand on the ground, or they stand up. They move to the right, they put their hand on the ground, or they stand up. They're not out there covering dudes, playing middle linebacker, sliding. No, they're just not.
I know, but the essence of winning football games on defense is rushing the passer.
But that's not his fault.
Yeah, but
that's
I don't need him to cover people.
That's the defensive scheme that Dan Quinn decided to put together to utilize Michael's skill set because he's a freak athlete.
Yeah, but I can make a case he has the advantage of moving around that they don't have because defenses know, offenses know exactly where they're lining up.
Yeah, that's true. But when you start to look at the impact that they bring from where they're at versus him moving all the way around, you're never going to really be able to gauge the true impact on him because he's not in one spot.
Mm.
He's just not.
So Jerry is stuck now with pressure to pay Dak Prescott at the highest level when he doesn't believe Dak Prescott is that dude. And now he's being pressured to pay Micah as the top paid defensive lineman in the history of football when Micah has not lived up to that potential yet. We know what the potential is. So Jerry...
He's outperformed his contract that he's currently
in. Okay, well, sure, yeah, but he was the 12th pick in the draft.
He's outperformed it, though.
But why did he fall to 12? Because the word out of Penn State was he could be difficult to coach.
He didn't even play his last year, Skip. He sat out a year.
Yeah. Okay, so now there's rumblings from the inside that he's difficult to deal with, that some people would be relieved if he were gone. Well, I don't want to see him gone, but are you going to get stuck with another Zeke-like contract where you paid him to be the best defensive lineman and he never measures up to that? Maybe. We just haven't seen it yet. He has not been able to close any deal. And Keyshawn, he had his worst pass rushing stats of his career in that disaster game against Green Bay in the home playoff game.
Man, it was 27-0 at halftime.
But he should be the leader of the football team. He should be the tone setter.
He's in his third, coming out of his third year, man.
Yep.
And if you talk to me 2 years and he's still doing the same things that he did in year one, two, and three, then that's a conversation I have.
Okay.
But he's young.
But if you're having to write that check for him right now, you're going to write it?
But he's outperformed his contract. You got to write it.
Okay. You're going to make him the highest paid defensive player?
You got to. Next man up.
Well.
What you going to do?
Okay,
that's where it's at.
So now this falls into the category of all things Dallas Cowboys. Everything is overhyped, including Micah Parsons, but you have to pay him. Like Florio says, he deserves a fair contract. Okay, well, what's fair? What has he done for you? He's been overhyped. He has not lived up. Dak Prescott has been overhyped. He has not lived up. I don't care what you say. He has not lived up when it mattered
Dak
most.
Dak Prescott has been one of the top quarterbacks in the National Football League since his arrival.
He's shown all that matters to Dallas Cowboy fans, especially the long-termers. Okay, we're spoiled. We've had five Super Bowls. We know what Super Bowls feel like. We've been there
I understand.
Eight times.
I get it. I understand that. That's in the ancient history,
okay, it's
though.
Not ancient. It's not that far away. It's Roger Staubach.
30 years
Troy
ain't
Aikman.
Far away?
Not for 29 years. That's a long time. But people know Troy Aikman because he's still very visible.
I didn't say people didn't know him.
Yeah, but
that's
they know
30
what it,
years ago.
They know what it felt like, okay? So you got to figure out when you're that franchise, like, when you're the Los Angeles Lakers, you figure out, back in your childhood, they went and got Kareem. How did they do that? They went and got Kareem. And then, on top of that, they somehow went and got Magic Johnson. They didn't deserve Magic Johnson, right?
When they drafted him.
Okay, but they had to finagle the draft pick to get him, right?
You guys have finagled draft picks to get players?
How did the Boston Celtics get Larry Bird? They didn't deserve Larry Bird. They were good, right? And then they got the best player.
You got Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, and Michael Parsons.
Okay, if we had an owner with some savvy, he would figure out how to go get a better quarterback than Dak Prescott. It's just, I watched San Francisco do it.
When?
Well, they went for Trey Lance, and then somehow they got Mr. Irrelevant, and he turned into one.
Yeah, he fell in their lap, and he runs their system to perfection.
And they dumped Trey Lance. And I'm not giving up on Trey Lance yet. And by the way, there is rampant speculation out there that Dallas would draft a quarterback with their first-round pick.
No, they're not going to do that.
Well, you better be ready. You better believe that Bo Nix or Michael Penix is that dude. Like, they're better than Dak Prescott, I haven't seen it.
They're not going to draft a quarterback. That's draft conversation because the draft is coming up on us, but they're not going to draft a quarterback.
Okay.
Why would you draft a quarterback if you got two on your roster and Cooper Rush and Trey Lance already?
Unless you decided, if Will McClay said, hey, I'm just throwing this out. I see in Bo Nix a star. I see some Brady in Bo Nix, that kind of thing. Well,
and you're going to draft him. Now you're going to alienate the quarterback for real.
Okay, well, maybe that'd be fine. Or light his fire for this year, right?
God.
Well, I'm not giving up on Trey Lance. I'd love to see. We'll get to see a lot of Trey Lance in the preseason.
Yeah, you'll get an opportunity to see him.
Yeah.
And then you'll see what he has.
All right. We'll see. You done with him?
I don't know anything about him.
Is he a bust?
No guy. Nobody's a bust that was drafted in the first round, especially when you don't get an opportunity to play. You know, I don't use the word bust because it's hard as hell to even be drafted, let alone in the first round.
Was Jamarcus Russell a bust?
No, he just didn't work out.
Okay, was Ryan Leaf a bust?
Didn't work out.
Okay.
Didn't work out.
All right.
None of it worked out.
All right, so they just don't deserve that label, is what you're saying.
Hey, man, it's hard to even get drafted, Skip.
Yeah.
It's thousands of kids that are begging to be drafted in the seventh, Mr. Irrelevant. It's hard.
Yeah.
It just didn't work out.
I apologize to Dallas Cowboy fans out there because you deserve so much better than what your owner is giving you right here, right now. Wake up, Jerry. Oh, he's with Micah now. I see. Okay. Another son. He's going to take care of him. All right. LeBron raves on his podcast about how all-time great his Game 7 chase down block was, and we debate that next. Stay tuned. Here's what LeBron James had to say on his podcast about his chase down block of Andre Iguodala, which occurred with a minute and 50 seconds left of Game 7 in the finals. Game was tied at that point at Golden State 2016. LeBron said, I went up with both hands. I was ready for the reverse or the strong side. I said, I'm getting this SH. So Paul Pierce, scale of 1 to 10, how all-time great was this block?
I really have to think, Skip. I really have to go back into my memory bank, and it goes far back. I can't, I mean, I remember the Ben Wallace block on Shaq was pretty good.
It was.
Nate Robinson blocking Yao Ming was pretty spectacular. This has to be a 10. And the reason why is because neither team could score. I was at this game. I was actually watching the game, and I didn't even see LeBron when the block occurred. I saw, I thought at that moment, I was like, wow, this is a surefire two, a layup. And in a lot of cases for Iguodala, he would dunk that if it wasn't for J.R. Smith swiping at it before LeBron got there.
Yeah.
So the magnitude of it, just being in a building and seeing like, wow, this is one play where you can get an easy one where when both teams are struggling to score and he just erases it. And it leads to Kyrie's three, which ultimately wins them a championship. So this is this happened 7 years. This will go down as the block. You know, just like we say with Jordan, remember the shot? You know exactly what I'm talking about when I say remember the shot. The crossover on Russell, it'll forever be remembered as the shot. When we say you remember LeBron's block, you're not going to say which one. You're going to go directly to the one from the finals because that is the one you're going to think of. So when you say different things about people in history that they've done, it becomes iconic because you don't even have to explain it. You just say, remember LeBron's block, and you instantly think of the block he had on Iguodala, which ultimately led to the Kyrie shot, which won them a championship, which brought them back from a 3-1 deficit. Mm. So on a scale of 1 to 10, I mean, it's a 10 to me.
Oh, Skippy. It's a 10, Skip. Mm. It's not even close.
Well, why don't you go 12 or 15?
We can raise it, but you said 1 to 10.
Yeah.
Paul mentioned the magnitude of the play.
It was magnitude. I give you that.
The magnitude of the play in the building, tied 89-89, 150 left, game 7. He went and got it. Why is that even a conversation?
Because at the time he got the block, you feel like if Golden State gets that layup, they probably got a great chance at winning because neither team could score at the time.
Yeah, absolutely, but that didn't happen. Okay, he chased it down, and you want to get into all the numbers and stuff. He chased it down. He jumped from the dot, dot, dot on the other side of the rim to go get it, even though J.R. Smith made him kind of, you know, I don't know, double clutch it enough to where he didn't have an easy lay-in, but that's his job to do that. And LeBron James's job is to go get it because he said, I'm about to go get this, rather than just sit back and watch JR defend it. He went and did something to make sure that it didn't go in. Mm. But I guess you, just based on the way you're looking, Skip, this thing's on Wikipedia is simply called the block. You Google it, right. Wikipedia. It's called the block. Mm. San Francisco 49ers against the Dallas Cowboys. What's that called?
The catch.
The catch.
I was there.
The catch. Yep. So it has his own name, just everything. I don't. You probably got it at a 2, but who knows?
By the way, I was there courtside for the shot in Salt Lake City that you referred to. All right. My issue with this play is exactly what both of you brought up, and then you swept it right under the carpet. This is a bicycle built for two. This is J.R. Smith assisting the block because Iguodala is going to dunk the damn ball. He's got dunk on his mind and in his eyes. Very and true. At the last split second, J.R. Smith cuts him off at the pass and impedes his progress to the point he even was losing his steps where he wasn't sure what his next dribble was going to be. And he had to rethink everything on the fly and decide, I guess I just have to now lay this ball up because JR not only cuts him off at the pass, but he impedes his progress to the point he even touches the ball. So Iggy's not even sure he's got the right grip on the basketball. And now he's got to just lay it up.
But
I'm not the biggest fan of ambush blocks. of on the run from nowhere sneak attack blocks? Because this is a sneak attack, man. Does Iggy see it coming? Well, Paul didn't even see it coming. He's watching.
I'm right there.
So LeBron swoops in from nowhere with both hands up and just blocks the hell out of it, because it was pretty easy, because Iggy is reduced to just trying to lay it in off the glass. Well, if he goes up to dunk it, you got me, because we're going to have a collision at the rim. And I'm pretty sure if he can go up to dunk it, he's going to shoot free throws. I'm pretty sure. I think LeBron would have no choice but to foul him on that play.
Skip.
So the point is, it is assisted. Without J.R. Smith, I'm not sure he pulls it. We're not having Wikipedia the block without J.R. Smith, right? So it's, again, bicycle built for two. It is assist J.R. Smith.
Okay, so you want to give J.R. Smith an assist?
Well, he deserves
it. You want to give him an assist?
Okay, well, that has to reduce the 1-10-ness of the block, right? It has to bring it back at least like a 7.
Man, look, man, you gotta let that go. Man.
No, I don't have to let it go. It's just the truth.
Everybody gets assisted. Okay. You said the same. You said the same thing about Ant-Man's block earlier this year.
It was exactly the same.
That Daniels got in the way, mm-hmm. and so therefore he wouldn't have been able to go get it. Okay.
Jaden Daniels was actually on his side, and what's his name from Memphis, little point guard? I just went blank.
For Memphis?
You know, for the T-Wolves. Mike Conley cuts him off.
Yes. But that's their job. Yeah. That's their damn job, is to play defense.
Okay, but
to
they
do
did
that.
Well, it but reduces
if
you, the
But
impact.
If LeBron James decides that he's just going to let JR play defense, it's a layup. But he said, no, I'm going to go get it from
that.
The other side of the dot.
Right.
Not to say he went across
and remember,
the lane.
Ant-Man was furious because he just gagged a free throw that would ice the game, and he said, I'm not going to stand for this.
Okay, but that's what he just said. LeBron just said he ain't going for this
He had to make up a lot of ground on it, too. He was at least, 15 feet behind?
Man,
he had to make up a lot of – you got to add that, because if you don't have the speed to get there,
they
the
said
elevation.
He was going 20.1 miles per hour. Now, I don't know how they got the clock on it, but they say he was going 20.1 miles per hour, and he jumped 35 inches to get to the other side.
Okay. What if there's no J.R. Smith, then what happens? Does he get there?
But that's not the case, though, Skip.
I don't know.
If was a fifth, we all be messed up.
I know, but it's not if is a fifth, because it happened.
You just said literally if J.R. Smith wasn't there,
it
probably would be a dunk, but he was there.
It would be a dunk because he would dunk it before LeBron could get there.
But what does that have to do? LeBron wouldn't even chase it at that point.
How can you give it an all-time 10 when he
effort.
He got help.
Number one, hustle and effort.
Okay,
number two, athleticism.
Yeah.
The wherewithal and the mindset to know that the score is 89-89. We cannot allow him to do this.
I got to go get it. Now, the reason it's elevated because they won.
And it's
if they don't win the game.
And they win.
If Kyrie don't hit the three, we wouldn't be talking about this.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? No,
it's a lot of that, though, Paul.
No, because we see, I'm not discrediting the block, because I said it was a 10. I'm not discrediting it. But we've seen LeBron do this block a million times. You know, you've seen this block, the chase down block. That's like almost become his signature. You know what I'm saying?
Keyshawn, you know what I love? I love man-to-man blocks, eye-to-eye blocks, face-to-face blocks, where somebody tries to go up on you and you just say no and you make them eat it face-to-face. That's a block to me. That's just me. This, like, Iggy doesn't even see LeBron coming, right?
But if he saw him coming, what is he going to do?
If he saw him coming?
Yeah.
I don't know.
He might
turn into him, try to draw the foul a little bit. He just doesn't see it. He just tries to lay it in.
But that's not LeBron James' fault, Skip.
Yeah.
Right.
All right. So you brought up the shot by Michael Jeffrey Jordan,
mm-hmm.
closing out game 6 at Utah, 1998. There's no assist on the play because Michael steals the ball in the corner from Karl Malone. He steals the ball by himself.
Yeah.
And he dribbles the ball up the floor, and Scottie's wide open on the wing, begging him to pass the ball to the wing to Scottie freaking Pippen. And Mike takes one look at him and says, no, I got this. And Byron Russell's on him, and he gets away with just a little bit of a push off, because they all did. They all did.
But a that's little, the way, that's the way don't the, throw him to the, that's the way, underneath the basket.
That's the way the game was played.
God,
that's the way
stop.
It was officiated.
Look at that, but, man. B-Russ, man, I feel so bad for B-Russ. Yeah.
And he cooked him, and he held the pose. And
that's his shot, though. Okay, that's all right, his spot.
But he goes end to end, steal and shot. It's all one sequence. Mm-hmm. It's the greatest sequence in the history of the NBA Finals.
But nobody is arguing that. You bring that up for
okay,
what?
But I'm
what do you bring that up
because
for?
Because there's no J.R. Smith involved in that play. If you're going to compare those two plays, there's
I
no help.
I ain't comparing them. You
there's
comparing
no
them.
Help.
You comparing it. I ain't comparing it.
It was a great defensive
one was a
play.
Block and one was a shot.
Well, yeah. he's comparing the iconic moments.
But
which one was greater in the finals?
This was it, though. This was the dagger. This was it. It was over. That didn't make it over. That just allowed them to have a second chance to win the game. So this clearly becomes more of a iconic moment in this particular situation.
Yeah.
Think about it. Okay, it's MJ number one. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's number six. As he held up, he pushes B-Russ. He sets up.
He didn't push him. It's just a little nudge.
All right, whatever. But I love MJ, too.
Nah, he pushed him.
But he knocks a shot down.
He pushed him.
But he knocks a shot down, right?
Right, right.
So here's just like you just said, Paul, a minute ago. If Kyrie didn't hit the shot, we wouldn't even be having a conversation about it because we wouldn't be talking about it.
So what was
if
greater?
If he don't hit this
what was
shot,
greater, the
for whatever
shot?
Reason, he misses at the front of the rim, we're not showing the highlight.
Nope.
What
not.
Was greater, Kyrie's shot or LeBron's block?
I got to see Kyrie shot again. I can't.
There it go right there.
It's a three.
There it go.
Yeah.
It's a go up three.
Yeah.
On Steph. Yeah. What was a greater moment? The block or the shot?
I think they go hand in hand.
Contested.
The block or the shot?
Which is the harder play? Which is more difficult? Well, it's the shot. It's much harder to make that shot.
No, it's hard. It's harder for LeBron in that moment to realize that he got to go get that shot to me. To me, I realize I got to get that shot. Because if I don't get it, they go up, and now we down.
Well, that's a two-point shot. They go up two with 2 minutes to go, a little under 2 minutes.
About a minute 40 probably.
Yeah, a little under 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And let's say Kyrie still hits the shot. And, they're up one.
And remember, you were there.
I was there.
Nobody could make a shot.
Nobody could score in the fourth quarter.
Nobody could score.
They go
everybody's
score
clanking
like
and clanking
points.
And clanking. And right. Finally, Kyrie said, no, I got this. I'm
don't nobody
end this
talk
thing.
About Kyrie's shot, though, see? They talk about that block.
But that's the win a game winner.
No, I get it.
That should be up there with the Michael Jordan, truthfully. That was a shot that won the game.
It
game
did.
Seven.
Yep.
That should be talked about with Michael Jordan.
But it's not talked about. LeBron's block is talked about.
Yeah, but this shot should be talked about in the same breath as Michael Jordan's. This is to win the championship on Steph Curry in their building.
No, I understand everything you said. I'm not arguing against it. It's just not talked about.
I know.
It's not something
saying,
that they discuss.
When we talk about these moments, that needs to be in there.
LeBron's overhyped or, I don't know, overprotected, overglorified. I don't know. Yeah. Does anybody ever bring up J.R. Smith's role in the block? Does Wikipedia even refer to it?
Why does he have to be overhyped? Why does he have to be overhyped?
Because
overprotected.
Well,
why does he have to be all that, though, Skip?
I don't know. It's because everybody wants to leap to the conclusion. Aha! That's why he's the GOAT.
Leap to what conclusion?
He's the GOAT because of that
block. That's a conversation that people have in the bars, on sports talk shows, at the barbershop. Those are just conversations, Skip.
LeBron's saying on his podcast, I was ready for him to reverse it. He's barely holding on to the basketball just to lay it in. What are you talking about?
Maybe he saw something different.
I don't know.
You know, maybe he thought he was going to come underneath. I don't know. I wasn't on the court. So all I can do is say that the block is going to be in our highlight reel till we die. That's all I can tell you.
Yeah. It's your favorite play of all time, right?
Man, go.
That's your favorite.
Well, you want to go somewhere
that's
else, man.
That's your favorite play.
He wants me to be delusional about certain things like he is, and I'm just not buying into it.
Like what? What am I delusional about?
Well, a whole lot of things.
Oh.
You're delusional about who LeBron is as a player. You're delusional about the Dallas Cowboys as a team.
Yeah.
Oklahoma as a team. You're delusional about a lot of things, but, you know, I'm just here. What do I know?
I'm not even a Cowboy fan anymore. I gave up on them. I'm now a Jordan Love fan. I'm a Green Bay fan. Nuggets trailed by 3 points at half last night to the T-Wolves in Denver, and I'm thinking, okay, here we go. But as usual, Nuggets turned it on the second half, pulled away to win by 9, 116 to 107. Ho-hum, it now looks like the Nuggets again will be the one seed with home court advantage throughout the Western Conference playoffs. So, Paul, here we go again. Are the Nuggets locks to win the West?
They are super locked. A Gorilla Glue lock. I mean, you got the best player. He just wrapped up the MVP last night.
Yeah.
Denver is 33-8 at home. I don't see nobody beating them at home in the playoffs. It's just tough to go into Denver. It's the altitude. You can't breathe up there.
Yeah.
They're playing their best basketball as we speak. And I just saw this man dominate who – everybody believes he's going to be the defensive player of the year.
Yeah.
Now, if there's anybody that can slow him down or stop him, it should be Rudy Gobert, right? But when I see him shoot 16 for 20 and give him 40, one of his most efficient games of the year, this is the defensive player of the year?
Yeah.
I mean, he just made him look bad. And if he's going to do this throughout the course of the playoffs and have home court advantage, they should – roll through the West, I believe. Mm. I mean, it's only like one team, I believe, that can even – I thought it was them, actually. I thought it was Minnesota was the one team that could probably give them a challenge. But when I see what he did to Gobert, and I'm like, you know what? They can just say, we're going to put Gobert on him, play him straight up, and let's stop all these other guys. Well, they tried that. So they not only didn't stop him, they didn't stop the other guys either, because I thought the strategy for him was like, all right, let him get 40 and you know, limit his assist.
Yeah.
And they did that, but they still won. So I'm not even knowing – I don't even know a clear game plan for the Joker or how you defend them or how you defend this team. They have great chemistry. I don't see it. They got the most unselfish superstar in the league.
Who they running from, Paul?
They're not running from nobody.
Okay, who is it that they don't want to see then?
I thought it was Minnesota could probably match up with them a little better than anyone because they got a defensive player of the year.
They don't have Karl Anthony.
They don't have Towns yet. But even if he does come back, how
I don't know.
Is he going to be in shape? Is he going to have a rhythm? How's the chemistry going to be with the team again? So
you don't give Dallas the opportunity.
They're close. But
see, because when I look at it now, Skip, I'm saying to myself, Minnesota OKC doesn't do it for me. Sacramento doesn't do it for me. Phoenix is giving them run for their money despite what we think about Phoenix in the one-offs. They've kind of, you know, beat them, toyed with them, whatever, made them sweat a little bit. The Lakers, I look back to last year, if we clean up our last 5 minutes and AD come to the party and play and all of our guys are healthy,
true.
I think we could pop them and send them packing. I want to see them early. I don't want to see them late. So then you talk about that. We talk about how Golden State is all of a sudden, you know, playing at a championship level like we've seen them do in the past. Are we not giving them any opportunity and hope if they would have seen them? You know, I don't know. The Clippers, they seem like they got the Clippers number. But that's in the regular season. What does it look like in the playoffs?
Yeah.
Well, it come playoff time. So I'm not ready to just crown them as a Western Conference champions playing against the Boston Celtics in the NBA Finals. I'm willing to say that any of the teams that I named, from the Lakers to the Suns to the Golden State Warriors, Clippers and the Mavs, if they see them, I think they're going to give them a run for their money and fight with them. Mm. They're going to take them all the way down. All the way down.
By the way, the T-Wolves and the Thunder won their season series against Denver.
Yeah.
But when it's push to shove time, when it's time, listen, in the fourth quarter last night, Joker makes all three of his shots, and he goes 3 of 4 at the free throw line. He scores 9 points. And by the way, that Christian Brown, Paul and I were talking about him in the break, but listen, he comes off the bench. He went 3 for 3 in the fourth quarter. Now he's the Bruce Brown role, right?
Dunked on Rudy Gobert.
He did. He dunked on Gobert. And all of a sudden you're saying, because I didn't think they had much bench, but he's kind of become their Bruce Brown bench, right?
Right.
Okay. I'm going to say this again. There's one player out there who can do what Minnesota can't do. And it's Anthony Davis. I don't care what you say. If he's right, if he's healthy and mentally healthy and locked in, you can't tell me that the Lakers can't match up with them because he can match up with Joker. I saw it last year.
You saw him get dominated last year.
Yeah, but I
got dominated
at the end of games. He did, but they were right there four straight times.
The only way you offset Joker is you put up the same numbers as him. That's the best defense you can give Joker. If he goes for 30 and 15, AD got to go for 30 and 15.
Yeah, but AD doesn't necessarily have to go for 30 and 15.
Yes, he does.
No,
yes, he does.
Because I can get LeBron and I can get Russ to
do. You cancel each other out.
But if
he's getting 41, 11, and 7, and Gobert is giving me dust.
No, but that's Rudy. I'm talking about the Lakers and Anthony Davis and LeBron James. And if D'Lo comes to the party, unlike last year, and all of a sudden Reeves start knocking down shots like he's capable of doing, you going to make up whatever little bit of difference that Anthony Davis doesn't give you on the points and assists and the rebounds from those
just
other guys.
Look at it like this. If he cancels out Joker, because he had a phenomenal game. I remember game one, Anthony Davis, he went for like 33 and 15 or something like that. That's canceling him out. Now you got to look at the other pieces. This is what I said earlier. Listen, if they just win their matchup, D'Lo, Reeves, that's why you need Anthony Davis to come with it. You're not looking for him to stop. You're not stopping.
But if D'Lo going to give you 23, right? Let's just say
he should win his matchup right there.
You're going to win
that matchup. That's even out. Jamal Murray will give you 23.
But then I can get 18 out of Austin Reeves.
All right.
I'm going to get another 28 out of LeBron.
That's what they got to do.
And Rui played big against
him. And then I can get 15 out of Rui.
That's what they got to do. It's not about how you defend Joker, because I think teams get too caught up on, like, how do we stop him? How do we slow him down? And we're not seeing that. That's not going to happen. You got to offset him and cancel him out with your offensive play. Don't worry about doubling him. Let him get 10, 12 assists.
We tried that. That didn't work.
Yeah, that don't work.
That
don't work.
Not Rui. Who was it that we kept?
Rui Gardner.
Yeah, Rui Gardner and pushing AD to him.
Yeah, because they like AD to help side the way he helps
side. That's how they did it.
Yeah, and that don't work.
They tried that last night. Minnesota tried that with
don't work.
They tried that with somebody last night. It was Gobert and somebody else, and they just get the ball.
Well, Nas Reed.
That's what it was, Nas Reed.
Who comes here and makes six threes against you guys, and last night he was 0-for-4.
And can't make a three to save his life.
No. And he's 7 feet tall.
Yeah.
Look, even if they get Karl Anthony back, there's just something missing in Minnesota to me. Every time I watch him, I just can't believe in him. Even Anthony Edwards, he's got some Jordan going on. I get that. But it's like he hadn't arrived maturity-wise where he's the guy, where he just says, get out of my way. I got this. And they got all kinds of pieces. They're the number one defensive team, but I don't trust them in a big postseason game. And this had playoff sort of feel, vibe to it.
I mean, there was a lot on the line. Number one seed.
Yeah, this was it. And in the fourth quarter, it was all Joker all the time. And what's killer about Joker is if he gets the ball at the top of the circle and he's just standing there and he kind of sizes you up and you're like, you're backed off in 3 or 4 feet. He says, all right, I got this. And he'll shoot it into the ceiling. He'll shoot it in the rafters and it'll swish. And if he's got that going, it's hard to beat. And he had that going against the Lakers last year.
Yeah, we got to come to the party, though. That's our biggest thing is the guys that we had that was our, whatever you want to call it, role players, have got to pick up the $2 million legs in LeBron James in the fourth quarter. If he decides that all of a sudden he's wearing and tearing, they got to step up, man. That's just the way it is. You do not win, and Paul can speak to this, NBA titles if your role players don't participate.
Austin Reeves, last year in the fourth quarters, the four fourth quarters, Austin Reeves shot seven out of eight.
Maybe this year, because last year I'm not doing it. Maybe this year...
You feature him a little bit.
Give him a little more opportunity.
Yeah.
So you think Lakers are the best matchup for Denver?
I do. Boy, I definitely do.
Yeah, because if you think about it, who else is... And I'm just looking at it from a big standpoint.
Well, I thought Minnesota.
Who else?
I thought... Carl Towns back.
But that big that Minnesota has, is it the same big that we have? No. That's the difference. So when you look at everybody
else. That's why they need Karl Towns.
Everybody else is big. Phoenix, nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing in Golden State.
Nothing.
Anthony Towns, I mean, we don't even know what that's going to be.
Nothing in Dallas.
Nothing in Dallas. So when you start breaking it all the way down.
What about Clippers? What about Clippers? Clippers are...
I mean, he kind of dogs out...
Zoo.
Zubato.
Zoo, yeah, he dog him out too. dog him out.
But they got enough firepower.
They got enough firepower. They do have, but what's their record against the Clips this year? I think they 3-1, and they might be 4-0 against the Clips this year.
Not sure. Yeah.
Yeah, they popped them a couple times. They didn't have no Murray, no Joker, and beat the Clippers here at Staples Center. And beat them, too.
Right.
So what you need is for the Lakers to somehow scratch and claw out of the play-in to the 8th spot and become the 8th seed, right?
Yeah, I had it all written down. Let me see here. Yeah, I got my Lakers sitting at 9, winning. Then
what you gonna do if they don't make the playoffs? What you gonna do?
Man, let me finish. I got the Lakers at 9, going up against the Kings that lose to the Suns. I got the Suns bouncing to the Timberwolves. Mm. And then I got us beating the Kings. Then I got us going to
beating
Denver.
The Kings in the play-in?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's where I got us at right now as a six.
So they would wind up as the 8th seed into the playoffs,
Into the playoffs.
And they would match up with the 1 seed.
And they would match up with the 1 seed.
That would work.
Remember, I want them early.
I know, and I like
that. I don't want them late.
I like your plan.
I need them early.
That's a good game
plan. While we feeling good about where we're at.
But the odds are you're going to have to deal with Steph and you're going to have to deal with De'Aaron Fox before you even get to Denver. And those are no gimmies, man.
No, they're not. And if the gimmies are no gimmies, then we won't be dealing with Denver. We'll be at home and Paul will be asking me, what happened, Key? I thought you said I was going to win.